Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Tonight God asked me to speak once again on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Something very simple, but I believe will set us free. How many of you know that you can never make it on your own? Hallelujah. That's why Jesus gave us the Comforter. And he's the Holy Spirit. What happens to most of us is that we're trying to lead our Christian life by ourselves and not by the help of the Spirit. And that's why we fail, and we fail ever so miserably. And week after week, we need a message of revival and restoration and strengthening because we have not learned to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. But how many of you will be glad if you can learn something by the Spirit of God himself that would enable you to live with his help and that you would make it? Amen. Hallelujah. We were singing that song little by little, and I saw some of them singing with joy. Sing little by little, I can see the Lord changing me. Hallelujah. Some of them were singing with joy. Some of them were singing in their minds and singing. Okay, I'm singing, but in their minds they were thinking, oh my God, I've gone from bad to worse. Little by little, I don't see any glory at all. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But little by little, he's indeed changing us. And when you get to know this word here, you will understand the Spirit of God will illuminate you and give you revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, or the school of the Holy Spirit, or the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel such a strong anointing in my belly, in my spirit, in my heart. And I know that when God begins to put that into my belly, I know there are some wonderful preachers here tonight, wonderful men of God. I want to give them a chance to minister today. But when you feel that kind of presence inside of you, you better minister. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. And the manifestation of the Spirit upon you is always given for the profit of somebody else. So I know tonight the church is going to be blessed. Hallelujah. If it is not in the message, it might be in the prayer. If it is not in the prayer, it might be in something else. But by the time you walk out of this place, you will see the yokes over your lives destroyed by the richness of God's anointing oil and the blessing of God coming upon you. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what happens to most people is that the day they are born again, and especially if you've been born again in a place where there is a lot of the manifestation of the Spirit and people speak about miracles and signs and wonders, your mind somewhere begins to think about a spectacular thing happening for you, and you forget to move in the miraculous. Let me explain in a simple way. It could be something like this. And you've been praying. Somewhere where God lost your touch with prayer, and you get discouraged and because you prayed and you've never seen results. But I can tell you, if you pray, there will be results. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Now what happens to the person is that he expects something spectacular to happen. He's crying out to the Lord and says, Lord, I've got a financial debt here. I've got a struggle with sin here. I've got a physical problem here. I've got a calling here which I want to fulfill. I don't know the plans that you have for my ministry. So all these things are there. And Jesus, I'm seeking your face, oh God. I want you to answer me and give me guidance. I believe, Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe there is no change in you. I believe that you are alive forevermore. I know that you have the keys of death and hates. Lord, I expect you to move and speak to me and move for me and act for me and bless me and set me free and give me direction in my life. Amen. You finished your prayer and you come out of your prayer room. Nothing happens. So you go in for the prayer meeting and the preacher is again preaching hard and fast and saying to you, the richness of the oil shall destroy the yoke. Oh my God, I need this anointing. Lord, anoint me. I know the Holy Spirit is going to give me a revelation. I'm going to see Jesus in my life and I'm going to have something happening for my life. You walk out of the prayer meeting, you go home and you expect maybe Jesus to be standing by the porch. And maybe he'll say, okay, what is the list of prayer that you've been praying all through these days? Let me have a look at it. Okay, you got a financial burden of 13 lakhs. Well, somebody was set free last week from 13 lakhs of debt. Hallelujah. We had a word, hallelujah, that person came and testified and said, 13 lakhs of debt, God just set free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you got a debt of 13 lakhs. You got a business problem. You got a problem with sin. Okay, let me look at the list. You want to know your ministry? Okay, who are the people to whom you owe over 13 lakhs? So you take on the list and show it to Jesus. He looks at it. Okay, Mr. Abraham, I know where he lives. Okay, I'm the Son of God, I know where he lives. Wait here. Jesus goes, pays that man, comes back. And which is the next amount that you said? One Mr. George in Kalamashiri. Okay. I know that person too. I'll go and pay him off. He comes, he sits, he keeps his hand upon you. Next thing, what do you want? I want liberty from sin. Oh, I feel the presence. Chains are fallen. Oh my God. I'm free. What do you want? I want a direction, my minister. What's my calling? Oh, your calling? Your calling is the greatest calling. Ben-Hinn will look small when you see your calling. Your calling, you're going to go through the nations. Wherever you stand, I'm going to bring in multitudes. You're going to just open your mouth and miracles are going to take place. Wow, yeah. See, this is a sign. Your hand will feel hot. And then you know that people are going to fall. And then your legs will begin to shake. And you know that a mighty healing manifestation is going to come in that place. Ah, this is wonderful, Lord. Wonderful. What else do you need? I need to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation because I want to be a good preacher. Let me teach you that. Come into the room. The Lord stays with you for a week and gives you the word. How many of you love something like that? Well, without Jesus, the Son of the living God, is alive forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father, and one of these days he'll come back. But while you're here, you're going to walk by faith. You're going to walk by faith in his word. And he sends you another comforter called the Holy Spirit who will be with you. And he will give you supernatural breakthroughs. Signs, wonders, and miracles are for this present time, but not in the way that your natural mind has been expecting. You hear that? It's not in the way which your natural mind has been expecting. And that's why we're going to learn from the word of the Lord something which will help us to move in the miraculous. And you're indeed going to see chains fall off from your life. Amen. Indeed you're going to see the supernatural provision of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now let's look at this word. Romans the 8th chapter. It says there, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, something is very simple, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. Hallelujah. One verse uses the word, if by the Spirit you mortify the flesh or put to death. The word mortify means to put to death. And you can put it to death only by the help of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, are you interested tonight?
Amen.
Well, how would you put to death by the help of the Spirit the deeds of the flesh? Let's come to it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you learn to mortify your flesh by the help of the Spirit, you will live. And what happens to most people is that they go by the traditional way which most of the Pentecostal churches have gone about. And that is first saved, then sanctified, then baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. First you receive Jesus into your heart, you're saved. Then comes the second step of doctrine of grace, where you are sanctified. And when you are in that holy moment of your life and sanctified and prayer and 21 days of fasting, and the glory of God begins to descend upon you and you begin to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. How many of you have attended services like that? You've seen the touch of God come upon you and you've gone back and done the very things that you hated and you had come out of. But you can never openly say it out, because you happen to be a charismatic, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost speaking child of God. So you just felt terribly guilty inside, and you thought maybe... Hallelujah. Amen. I sense the presence of the Lord so much. As a matter of fact, I just want to enjoy that presence. What happens to most people is that when they go in for the next prayer meeting, again they consecrate their life. And in that moment of decision, they say, okay, I'm going to walk by the help of my willpower. I'm going to charge up my will. I'm going to decide not to smoke, not to drink, not to commit adultery, not to fool around, not to lie, not to cheat. If there is milk and drinks on two sides, I'm going to choose the milk and not the drink. You take those decisions. Hallelujah. Amen. And you live like that for a week. Then becomes a drag. It becomes a struggle. Prayer time is a struggle. So you don't enjoy praying, because it is no longer a fellowship with the Father. It is just trying to survive the battle of the flesh. Hey. Hallelujah. There's no longer enjoyment in prayer. Some people say in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. You don't enjoy that. You know that scripture, but you don't enjoy that. You're just trying to hang in there and get victory over your life. And so by your willpower, you say, I'm not going to cheat today. I'm not going to lie today. I'm not going to do anything wrong today. You put your will into action. And you live like that for maybe 10 days, 20 days, 30 days. And boom! See, people trying to keep our food. Some people say, okay, listen, I think I'm going to be on a diet and I won't eat any chocolates, I won't eat any ice creams, nothing like that. No fattening food, nothing. I'm just going to be on a diet. You've seen people like that? And they try to get into a diet. They live in with the responsibility of the will, they try to live accordingly. 2 days they don't eat, third day they don't eat, fourth day. And they come to church, you ask, and they look down at people who are eating too much. Mm-hmm. 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, you walk like that for some time. And then one fine morning, suddenly the pastor gets a call from one of the local ice cream shops. And the ice cream man is saying, there is somebody here from your church. They've eaten up all the ice creams that we had here. There is nothing more that we have here. Why? Because it's blown up one day. Amen? That is why the scripture says, by the Spirit, if you learn to put to death, not by your willpower. You have to have your decisions in life, but not by your willpower. Amen. Hallelujah. There is something called will worship and there is something called mortification. These are two different things. Hallelujah. So how are we going to come to the part where we learn to mortify the flesh? Would you like to know it? Look to Romans, the 8th chapter. And verses 26 and 27. It says there, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Helps us in our? If you have a different Bible, it uses the word. Also helps us in our infirmity. Infirmity. Amen. That word actually, infirmity, means our inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on us by our flesh. Friday evenings we are having teaching, and that is what you like, isn't it? On Sunday mornings we preach, on Friday evenings we teach. Hallelujah. That word infirmity means what? Our inability to produce results, whether it be concerning your calling, your ministry, your victory, your inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on you by your flesh. There's a limitation that is imposed on you by your flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit of God helps us in our infirmities. Amen. See, most people do not know what the gift of tongues is all about. See, it's not just people coming and making a lot of noise. If you have looked at it, in the modern world, especially in Christian circles and religious circles, there has been a great attack against the gifts of the Spirit, and especially the gift of tongues. And most people do not understand, even as believers, when they come in, they just think a prayer language, a beautiful prayer language, that's all tongues is all about. I just groan in the Spirit for some time, it feels good, it feels nice. It makes me a part of the fellowship because I don't want to stand alone and speak in English and pray in English when the person standing next to me is looking kind of ultra holy and saying, Shikaranda Rudra Jira Jala, and I don't want to be the person standing there to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It doesn't look good. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Now stay with me. We're going somewhere in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. See, what happens when you come for a dedication service or when you come to dedicate your life to Jesus is that you're bringing the fruit of your problem. Let me explain this. If you have committed adultery, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for the adultery that I committed. You bring that fruit. If you are a man who drinks too much, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for the drinks that I've taken. Please forgive me, O God. And you come and apologize to the Lord, confess your sin, and you bring the fruit. If you are a man who is giving unforgiveness and hatred in your life, you forgive that person and say, I bring it. That's the fruit. But the root is still there. That's why on Monday morning, after your Sunday worship, on Monday morning you get into a struggle again, and you go into that valley of despair because you've fallen again. Because the fruit that you kept on the altar seems to have come back again. Ah, come on, church. So how many of you would like to see the root of the problem removed in your life? Amen. We don't want to come week after week. I mean, how does a pastor take a congregation forward? Week after week, you're going to try to get victory for them. But if you can teach them on how they can have the victory the way God's word has outlined for them. Hallelujah. They'll be such a blessing into the congregation because week after week they won't be so focused on their struggle. But you can actually allow them to be vessels that will allow the anointing to move through them, and we can reach out to so many more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The root. Let's get to the root now. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us. Read it again. We have gone through that scripture so many times, you know. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray Likewise, that word is important. Because it's actually speaking about a lot of things, and it speaks about even the fact that it's out to mortify the flesh. Likewise. See, how many of you, you receive a baptism? How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Lift your hands. See, how many of you have done something really miserably, beggarly, something that is really slavish, and that's something really horrible, after you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Can it be true? Yeah? And have you ever sat back and thought, the Spirit of God that seems to be in my life when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is he the same Spirit that actually hovered over the earth at creation? Is he the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Because if the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead abides in my life, then why did I do such a silly, horrible, little, puny sin? Come on. So what's happened is that, see, when God anointed you, he anointed you with your only one Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit. You don't need to fear a counterfeit spirit coming into your life. Because Jesus said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And how did he parallel that word? He said, if a child should come, somebody should come and ask you for bread, will you give a stone? If somebody asks you for a fish, will you give a snake? Now, you won't give something counterfeit. You won't give something that is that's not what it says it is. The same way Jesus said, if you come before me and ask my Father in my name for the gift of my Spirit, hallelujah, then he will not give you something counterfeit. He will give you the real thing. The third person of the Trinity to dwell inside of you. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes and dwells inside of you. So how do you bring this resident power of God? This, the same one that moved over the waters at creation. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If he is the one who is dwelling in your body and in my body. Hallelujah. How do you bring that power out? Come on. There is no point in having a gun if you do not know how to shoot. Amen. Hallelujah. Chela amuchi marakkaga mixi medichu koduthulla avare ingane arakke ullu. Unga parijeyichu poyennu pare. Come on. How do you bring the resident power of God, the Holy Ghost power that is inside of you, out? And that is the key. The key that releases the Holy Spirit's power in our lives on a personal level to modify the deeds of the flesh is the supernatural gift of tongues. Ah. See, most people of you, some of you sitting here have lost faith in the gift of God. In the gift of God. So you just need somebody from a nearby Bible school coming and telling you, why make all this noise? That which produces, amen, the release to modify the flesh is the supernatural gift of tongues. No matter, the devil fights it. No wonder your own natural mind, the minute you begin to pray, begin to say, what am I doing? What am I doing? After all that I did yesterday and the day before yesterday and the day today, what am I doing? What am I doing? Hear that? Oh, Rikabe Santorunti Tekia. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just not making noise. It's just not glorifying the Lord. That's all a part of it. The gift of tongues has got some specific... I mean, when God gave you the gift of tongues, there's some real reasons why he gave it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians 14.
And the second verse. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. Your neighbor won't understand. Amen. I want to ask you, the Bible is very clear. Because you're speaking unto God. So you should say, silly brother, I was not speaking to you, I was speaking to God. Hallelujah. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, we will come to that word mysteries later. Now, look at the fourth verse. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. He who speaks in tongue edifies. That word edify means to build a mansion inside of you. To build a mansion, that word edify means to build a mansion inside of you. Can you imagine that? A mansion inside of you. If there's no mansion inside of you, if your spirit man is not built up, what happens to you is that you begin to look at yourself as somebody who is lost, on the way down, nothing happening, nothing come to pass. And your natural mind is all that you can look to for help. And many a thing you can't understand with your natural mind. There's a limitation in your natural mind. You hear that? Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The prayer language of tongues. You hear that? Oh. Now let me explain how that works. Because you would say, I've been praying in tongues, but I haven't seen that. I haven't seen any modification. Let me explain how it happens. Hallelujah. God's word has to be true, isn't it? Your experience has to be the wrong thing and the word of God has to be true. So you have to understand how that happens. See, I'll explain it. The day and the time you're baptized in the Spirit and you begin to speak in tongues, the first thing that happens to you is that the Spirit of God is the one who illuminates you, who gives you revelation. So when he begins to pray through you, and when you begin to pray in tongues, suddenly that which was in the dark is suddenly brought into the light. You didn't understand it. That which was in the dark is suddenly brought into the light. Which means, when you baptize in the Spirit and you pray in tongues, I mean, you heard the message of tongues and you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember those joyous times when you were saved in those initial days? You receive the gift of tongues, you could sit through the night and pray in tongues. Sounds something beautiful. You would go into a worship center, you could worship the Lord. Amen. But what happened? Suddenly that which was in the dark, in your nature, suddenly is brought into the light. The negative attitudes that you had, the sinful tendencies that you had, the hidden cravings and the desires of the flesh that you had is suddenly brought in full glare in your eyes in front of you. Oh, come on. Come on. Don't give me that spiritual look. It suddenly brought out. And I'll tell you what happens the minute it's brought out. You thought on the day when you brought that fruit of sin before the Lord and said, Lord, I confess, I repent, here it is, it was gone. Suddenly you're baptized in the Spirit, you're going home and praying, Shikar, and suddenly this crazy thought comes in. Ah! Where did that come from? All the hidden desires of the flesh that you had. Everything that was in the dark. Every kind of crazy, weird little sin that you thought about. That was hidden deep inside. Suddenly begins to come in full glare. And you say, you get discouraged. That's what happens. Most people quit praying when that happens. Most people quit praying when that happens. They say, what's the use of saying, see, most people who spoke about tongues and the gift of tongues before, I know pastors and men of God who deny that gift now. That's because they have never realized how that gift operates. Because they say, listen, we were baptized in the Spirit. Abhishekam prabhichu kaanikku pinne ingane ee vennatha kaanikkunnu. Adu Avidinte adu choikku. Samsonte adu choikku. പത്രോസിന്റെ അടുത്ത് പോയിക്ക് പൗലോസിന്റെ അടുത്ത് പോയിക്ക് എവറി ലിറ്റിൽ തിങ് ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ഇൻ ദ റൈറ്റ് ലെറ്റ് മീ ഗിവ് യു സ്ക്രിപ്ചർ ലെറ്റ്സ് ലുക്ക് ടു ഇറ്റ് മാർക്ക് ചാപ്റ്റർ 4 ദ ഫോർത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ Look to verse 20 and 21. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you are a good ground. Amen. Good ground for what? Tell them for the word of God. Hallelujah. But these are the ones sown on those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. Psalm 34, Psalm 60 and Psalm. And the 21st verse. And he said to them, is a lamb brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has been anything been kept secret that it should not be brought to light. Amen. Hallelujah. So here is good ground. Receive the word. Receive the lamp. What's the lamp for? To be brought, things that are dark to be brought into the light. What happens to most believers is that they either get discouraged because they don't understand the word properly. That's not the way they expected their deliverance. You hear that? They expect, like I said in the beginning, Jesus to come. Like it is said in the Revelations, maybe on a white horse. You're driving there by the Ford icon and stops at your home and there is somebody on a white horse. Wow, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. Ever that is hidden is brought out. At that point, most people quit. You hear that? They either get discouraged, or they quit, or they begin to question God, or they begin to doubt the word, or they begin to get into that old kind of saying, why poor me? I only had holy desires to serve the Lord and to fulfill the calling. I never knew so much evil was there in me. When everybody is singing, little by little, every day I am only seeing going worse. If I don't come for the prayer, the pastor will catch me. Enikku mathram arayan buddhimuttu vannirikkunnende. Hallelujah. Ninakku oru vidudhal undennu. The entire process of edifying is the way God ordains it. You hear that? Let me explain that. Now, there are three levels of sanctification. When the Spirit of God, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, three levels, you know. The first one is there is something called the filthiness of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Let's look to it. We're just learning the scriptures tonight. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The filthiness of the flesh, you know what they are. Amen? It is very obvious, which we know. Do you want me to read it out for you? Hallelujah. We know what the filthiness of the flesh is. Then there is the filthiness of the spirit, which is actually things like incorrect doctrine, a wrong belief system, the filthiness of the spirit, questioning the very character and the nature of God. Amen. When things don't go the way that you expected it to go, പ്രാർത്ഥിച്ച സമയത്ത് വിടുതൽ കിട്ടിയില്ല, എന്നാ ബബ്ബായി, നാളെ വേറെ എവിടെയെങ്കിലും പൊക്കോളാം. There is a sanctification that is needed in your soul, in your spirit. It's a wrong belief system about God. And especially one which, let me tell you this, especially one which many people use. They don't know the nature and the character of God. And they just assume. ഇത് ചെയ്തപ്പം തട്ടുകൊള്ളതാ. അയ്യോ വേണ്ടാത്തടുത്ത് പോയപ്പോ തട്ടു കൊണ്ടു. കർത്താവ് എന്താ തട്ടാനാ? ഹല്ലേലൂയാ. His nature, His character. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in its fullness. The thief comes to kill, to steal and to destroy. Amen. Hallelujah. Wrong doctrines, wrong thinking about the Lord. Are you with me? This is a part of the filthiness of the spirit. Doubting the very existence of the Lord and His love and compassion over your life. Questioning the very nature of God's word. Oh, we would like to be purged from all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Then there is the filthiness of the soul, which James 1 actually speaks about in 20 and 21. That's where you suddenly find the root of your selfishness and unforgiveness and hatred and envy and all that coming up. Boom. Amen. And the day you start speaking in tongues, He helps your infirmities. He shows you the limitations of your flesh. He shows you the nature that you are and brings into light. At that point, most people quit praying when they should persist in prayer. Hear me well? That's the time for you to persist in prayer. Praying how? Building yourself up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Because there comes a point, hallelujah, when you have prayed through in your spirit, where the root is boom. See, when you have to understand this. In Romans 8 and the 14th verse says, whoever is led by the Spirit is the Son of God. What does that mean? That means your flesh is not what is driving you, but your spirit has been regenerated and has been built up by the Holy Ghost, and you have learned to walk as a spiritual man. Because you have learned perfectly in the spirit to mortify your flesh. And the key is through the gift of tongues. Again, a release and a repeat. Hallelujah. How many of you are finding this helpful? See, the minute you start praying, you're gonna provoke an internal war, you know. You're gonna actually provoke an internal war. You hear that? There's gonna be an internal war that's being provoked. Have you tried that? Open with me Jude, the book of Jude. The 20th verse. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, how? By praying in the Holy Spirit. How would you build yourself up? By going to a Bible conference? By having men of God laying hands upon you? By? Building yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. I can't build up your spirit, man. Can only teach you on how you can do it. Hear that? See, as a matter of fact, you know, over a period of time when you begin to learn to minister, and if you're going to be ever serve the Lord, you've got to understand what your level or what your area of ministry is. And where the Spirit of the Lord takes over. Never try to do what the Spirit of God alone can do. Only do what God wants you to do. I'll explain that. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the Bible says, somebody scattered the seed, somebody poured the water, but who brought the increase? So you can never increase either the faith level in a congregation, nor build up the congregation. You as a minister can sow the seed. I, Paul, sowed the seed. Apollos came and watered, or Apollos sowed the seed. I poured the water. But who brought the increase? God brought the increase. As a man of God, I realized my limitations. So you don't get frustrated trying to do too many things. Hear that? You come preach the word. Teach them. Impart knowledge from the word, and God brings in the increase. Hallelujah. How many will love the increase of the Lord? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Increase in any way, you know. If you looked at it. See, I was looking today, you know, and I believe I'm sharing it for somebody here because it's just not through with the message, but just the part. Just open with me the 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And the 10th verse. It says there, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply, that is increase. Supply and multiply, that is increase. The seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. How does the fruit increase? By the seed that is sown. A seed that is in the hand won't produce the increase. It has to be sown. You hear that? The seed that is sown produces the increase. Somebody needs that here. So what I'm saying is, as a minister of the gospel, you know how, where your limitation is and where God takes over. You're not responsible for somebody having a breakthrough. Your part is in you pray. You teach them the word. But they have to do the believing in God themselves. Amen? Hallelujah. When somebody sick comes to you, your part is to lay hands upon them and never despise them and never do it without faith and never do it without expecting a healing if you are a minister of the gospel. No one make fun of laying on our hands. That's the way God has ordained it. It's a holy ministry. Lay hands, that's your part. Healing has to come from God. That's His responsibility. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you begin to learn to minister of the Spirit of God, you realize a lot of things. See, the Spirit of God wants to impart something. There are ways in which He imparts certain truths of certain anointings upon people. When you look at the Scriptures, you will find certain truths are imparted by the laying on of hands. That's why when somebody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you lay hands upon them. Amen. Sometimes the anointing is imparted unto others when you preach the word. The word becomes the point of contact for them. The word becomes the channel for them to receive. And I have seen it. There are days in which God allows me to minister by laying hand of hands. Sometimes there is no son, just preach the word. And when you begin to preach the word, you know that's a point of contact for their faith to be released. And the hand of God comes upon them. There are days in which what you do, you do what Paul says to do, or what he did. There's a day in which God began to work extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul, where even the handkerchief that he used and the clothes that he wore would touch people and they would be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. It's a way of imparting the anointing. There's a time that you allow the anointing of God to be imparted over others. How? Not only through the laying on of hands or the word of the Lord, or by extraordinary, like, you know, when I was this time in Texas, the Lord asked me. I was staying in a house, and I was praying through that. That week in that house, there was such a strong, warfare in the spirit and spraying through. And nights I would sit through in the room that was allotted to me in prayer. And by the time I got out, I hadn't prayed a single word for the family. I hadn't prayed a single word for the family that I was staying with. They had a lot of things to ask me and pray with. But I just didn't have time, or God didn't allow me to minister to them. So I was praying by myself and, you know, spending time with the Lord. But the day I left, their daughter was not there. The daughter is somewhere else. But she had a problem. And so the mother had a desire that the daughter should be healed. She had done 3 surgeries on her heart and still was not healed. So when I left, the Lord told me to just tell her one thing. I was staying in the daughter's room. The Lord told me to tell her, don't remove the sheet in that room. When your daughter comes back from the holiday, let her go and use that room. And the healing anointing of God would move upon her life and she would be perfectly healed. There is a time when the anointing is transferred through kerchiefs and all that imparted through the word, Through laying on of hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you know what it is, don't you? Some of you don't. There is nobody to speak. You know, see, you start preaching on the anointing. You start preaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Religious systems will rise up against you. People who say they're Pentecostal faith believers, they will begin to criticize you. You know, once Kenneth Hagin was ministering, and Kenneth Hagin was ministering, and he said, you know, I've been criticized by the elders, so why should I worry about the small birds? For any gifting, you expect to move in the supernatural anointings of God? You don't know what you're asking for. There'll be people who will criticize you, who will make fun of you, who will question you. You think it's going to be easy? If there's going to be a supernatural manifestation, there are going to be supernatural persecutions. See, you know, when you hear, I remember when I heard that from a man I've got a long time back. I thought maybe that preacher is saying, and that's about his life. So I canceled that over my life and said, no supernatural persecutions for me. Oh boy, you start moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and there are people outside, people everywhere, who begins to come against you. And you realize that's the way it has been in the Acts of the Apostles, and that's the way in the modern time. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you enjoying the word today? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, there are different ways, you know. Jesus actually spat on people. How do you like that? Amen. A person gave a healing. The Lord said, you want a healing? That's good. Yeah. You're really believing in God for healing? Yeah? You want me to heal you? Okay, yeah. He spat on the ground. Take that. How would you like that? You're going to a church, you're coming for fellowship, and the preacher just stands there and spits on you. You're really hungry for the anointing? You're really thirsty? Yeah. There are so many people you like to actually spit on. Not in the church, but outside, you know. People who criticize the move of God and who don't understand head or tail of it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The gift of tongues, you hear that? Is the way which God has ordained for every gift to be loosed out of your life to function out. Now, let's stay with Jude. We were there while I just went through Jude. 20th verse. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the... By praying in the... By praying in the... But, you know, it is amazing. You just can't read that word. Just like that. You need to read what comes before that. And when you look at the 12th verse onwards of the same chapter, these are spots in your love feast, speaking about a group of people. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, laid on trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of sea, forming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackest of darkness. Amen. Amen. Look on. The 16th verse, these are murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And their mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Amen. But the 20th verse says, but. You don't want to be in that list from 12 to 18? You don't want to. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be in that. Amen. You don't want to be in there. So the way out of there is to build yourself up. Hallelujah. By praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Which do you want to choose? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times you think you're going to be a sensual person. That word sensual person means person who is walking by his five natural senses. He can't walk by faith. He has to see, he has to experience everything. Only what he sees, he will believe. Only what he can feel, he will believe. Only what he hears with his natural ears will he really, understand or take it to heart. He's always walking by the senses. But you and me, we're called to walk by faith. And you can never walk by faith unless your spirit man is built up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, anytime I want to receive a word from God, and I want to see which direction the ministry has to go forward, which God has put into my hands, or whatever, I need to build up my spirit. Or if I go by what I can feel, what I can sense, by the what I can feel around, I would never have gotten to the land deal of 1.5 crore. You know, I was with the lawyer. He asked me, you know, anyone who wants to buy a land, he said, at least knows, at least he's got 50% of the amount with him. And he knows how to make the rest 50%. He asked me, you have no idea where the 50% is. And you don't have anything with you. And you don't know how you're going to make it. Well, I couldn't explain things to him. The reason being, he was not yet baptized in the Spirit. I said, not yet. He has to come in January and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. He said, if this money comes through and you buy that property, I will be the one who will come into your congregation. But you don't walk by, who is going to give me something here? Which are the nice guys? Which are the bad guys? Who will get me an offering? No. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you see somebody like that, you know, who is going to give you an offering, your prophecy will be only over that person. I see the Lord coming upon your life. I see your descendants blessed. I see your family blessed. You see men of God like that? Woo! Come on, church. We don't walk by our senses, we walk by faith, and the only way to do it is by building yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. We don't want to be fleshy, do we? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad this message? Oh. And that is why you need to do the praying. You need to build up your spirit, man. I can tell you one thing. The minute you start praying, every negative emotion and thought that you have will come in front of you. Boom. If it's what you've done, confess it. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you right there. Are you with me? Even they'll throw right in front of you. Don't stop there. Don't get discouraged and say, I better go and have, you know, when I was preaching in States, I suddenly realized one thing, you know. The people there usually during the service get what is called a Mac attack. A Mac attack, you know, they like to go and have a McDonald's. So, you'll find people getting up and going to the nearby McDonald's counter, getting a hamburger and coming out. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, every negative emotion will throw up in front of you. You'll feel like quitting and going watching some TV or reading a book or going your own way, doing something else, or making yourself a nice fruit juice and a nice having a nice pastry. Then waiting on, hanging on till next Sunday. You can say, oh, I tried. Yeah. Yeah. But don't quit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it was Oral Roberts who, a young person came to him. Oral Roberts used to pray for that person a long time. Used to pray, Lord, change this man, change this man, change this man. Nothing used to happen. One day I picked him up and went out to pray and prayed with this guy. He was into all kind of sin, prayed with him. And, you know, actually Oral Roberts wanted to rebuke him, but The Lord just made him pray. He just prayed him in the tongues. He just prayed. He just prayed. Half an hour, 45 minutes. He prayed. 1 hour. 1.5 hours. This man is sitting there. After praying for 1 hour, you know, all Robert said, uh-huh. And just turned around to speak with somebody else. And after 2 minutes, he looks. This guy is gone and got drunk. And is coming back drunk, smoking a cigar. All Robert says, Lord, I've done my best. I've done all that I can do. I preached to him. I prayed for him. I tried to get him sanctified and saved and set free. Nothing has happened. This guy has come back the same way. But a month passed, 2 months passed, he was in a church somewhere. And this guy is the pastor of that church. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God uproots, amen, and throws away, hallelujah, after he illuminates your mind, concerning every kind of desire. Amen. It's not after you came to the Lord all those desires came. If you look at it, it was always there. Just showed up. When light came, are you with me? The cockroaches just came out. Some of them will say, we wouldn't go. Have you seen that? So, don't get scared at the time when one weakness shows up. Says, we won't go. What's your name? Pride. Mm-hmm. We won't go. Mm-hmm. What's the other one's name? Lust. You won't go. Mm-hmm. Don't get scared. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't get discouraged. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Coming is the day when you shall walk led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up in the presence of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Remember this, please, before you get up. The Spirit of the Lord can be quenched. He can be grieved. He can be neglected. He can be insulted. He can be put out. Some of you have done that. But Hosea, the 5th chapter and verse 15 says, if you will acknowledge your sin, once again shall I return to you. Amen. You say sorry to the Holy Spirit because He is the only one who is able to work inside of you and give you the power and the enablement to walk a true Christian life. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for having resisted you and neglected you and hurt you. Forgive me. I welcome you back into my life. Would you say that before you get up from your place? Would you close your eyes and pray? Would you ask the Spirit of the living God to help you? Would you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for having resisted you, neglected you. I am sorry for having put you out of place. Forgive me. I give you freedom in my life. Take a hold over my life. Say it. Open your mouth and say it.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in this congregation, including my life. We ask you forgiveness for every time we have resisted your spirit. We have quenched you and neglected you and hurt you. Lord, we truly are sorry. Lord, we ask you in these days to produce within us the grace to be enabled, O God, by the power of your spirit to walk in your ways. In these days, it's becoming our lives to you. We are sorry for having trusted in our own willpower and strength to get us out of our own defeats and struggles. We thank you that you have sent forth the Comforter who will help us. I pray that we will never resist him or quench him or neglect him or hurt him, but we welcome him back into our lives, back into every area of our lives. Holy Spirit, you are the most welcome person. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone. If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for the gifting of your Holy Spirit upon your church, upon your people, upon every vessels in this place. Revive and restore them, strengthen them, break the barriers in their lives, release them to fresh seasons of grace and revival in the name of Jesus. Let your touch, your divine touch, your divine touch, your quickening touch, your life-giving touch be upon your people tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for having heard our prayer. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up in the presence of the Lord with our eyes closed in prayer to worship the living God one more time. Let the presence of the Lord just move over your lives and strengthen you tonight. Hallelujah. If you are thirsty for the life-giving presence of God's Holy Spirit, let him baptize you once again. Let him touch you once again. Strengthen you once again. Let the life of God, the river of God, the well of God rise up inside your belly tonight. In the name of Jesus.